All right, well, welcome to 2024, Joshua.
It's going to take me so long to not write 2023 on everything now.
I know. If it's the first time you're tuning in to our podcast, this is the Uncommon Man-to-Man podcast. And so if you're new to Uncommon, we are a men's ministry that focuses on encouraging and challenging men in their daily walk with Christ, whether it be in their role as a dad, a leader, a husband, to help that man impact his family, his community, and beyond. So this is our podcast. The format of this year is going to be a little bit different than previous months. This one's going to be a little bit longer, maybe the 30 to 45 minute range, allowing us to dive deeper into topics. And then also it'll be around a three-segment session. So pour yourself something hot, cold, and anything in between, and buckle up for a lot of discussion. Mm-hmm. So this month, January of 2024, see how I did that, is Mental Health Month. And so we wanted to talk about mental health when it comes to Christian men. Mm-hmm. Because I think the stereotype is, well, I'm a new creation in Christ, so I'm bulletproof, baby.
Yeah.
I'm impervious to everything. Nothing affects me. Men and women who are Christians struggle with mental health just like anybody else does. Mm-hmm. And so today we're talking about unmasking that silent battle.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like you said, so many people think, like, oh, I'm a Christian now. Now I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. You know, I'm good now.
Right.
And I think that is an even more dangerous place to be, because now not only you suffer, if you can deal with that as it comes, it blindsides you, right?
Oh, sure.
You're like, oh, I'm bulletproof. Oh, no, here comes, depression or anxiety. How do I handle that?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, balancing act you have to have. Is like, yes, you can trust, God with your life and your faith and all that kind of stuff, and you can still feel anxiety. That's just human nature, and the fight that happens internally, like, well, yes, I trust God with everything, but I'm still feeling anxious. Am I doing something wrong as a Christian, mm-hmm.
Right.
And so just all those mental battles that happen, it's difficult, especially when you don't prepare for them and, that blind side, like I said. But, as we talk about men in this scenario, the stigma of not reaching out for help is a very real and concerning aspect of it.
Sure, sure. I think studies show that men are less likely than women to seek help for mental health problems. And I could totally see that.
Mm-hmm.
Think of someone in your family. This is not meant to be funny in any way, that you can think of and say, I think they may suffer from fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the holiday uncle may not count as the person was, I could take his stories. But you can tell that someone is struggling with something and think back, well, they've been doing that for a long time. I just didn't know they suffered from that. So, societal pressures on men to appear strong and unemotional. We're meant to be robots, right?
Yeah.
In this society. And so consider a typical action movie hero who never shows fear or sadness. This character reinforces the stereotype that men should be tough and emotionless, impacting real life attitudes about male emotional expression. So, think of an action movie.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back. Instead of, he says, hold on a second, while I touch my feelings for a moment. Let me get centered first.
Mm.
None of the action heroes or quote-unquote manly men that we read about on movies never kind of show that emotional side. And so, I've always been drawn to the Japanese culture. I was in karate for a number of years. But samurai, they were deadly, obviously, but they had an emotional side that they developed because they felt it rounded them off as a person. Mm. You know, it would be poetry or drawing or whatever it was. I don't think today's guy thinks of, am I building myself in a full round manner emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually?
Mm.
So now that is a point of view of a 55-year-old. What is yours from a 27?
When it comes to emotions, I definitely feel like there is a level of pressure externally from society that tells me, hey, you shouldn't express anything but, you know, I am provider, I make the money, I keep sure. the house safe, that's kind of it. There was a couple of guys I was watching recently were talking about it, and what was interesting is they viewed, they were talking about mental maturity, mental health kind of stuff. He talked about how men get angry to express their anger was men's version of crying for women.
Okay.
When they get upset and they don't know how to express it, it becomes anger in most guys.
Sure.
And I think that you can see that if you don't have an outlet that is a good outlet, it ends in being vices, substance, alcohol, anger, frustration.
Sure.
And I've seen plenty of guys that I've known grow up who just don't know how to handle the emotional or mental maturity that comes with age. And instead of reaching out and leaning on other guys, they leaned on alcohol
sure.
or they, you know, leaned on, you know, pornography or whatever the case may be.
Sure.
We talk about it a lot on this podcast about community and how like vital it is to men and how the truest friendships you will probably build are the ones that you're most vulnerable in.
Sure.
And you will build friendships much deeper and more worth something at the end of the day when you are vulnerable about your shortcomings and where you need help with X, Y, and Z emotionally. Because every guy struggles, I think, with the idea of being vulnerable in front of someone else, because then it opens up the door of like, okay, well, I'm being vulnerable in front of this guy. He's going to think less of me now.
Sure.
When in reality, that person is probably like, well, I'm dealing with the same exact thing over right. here on my side of the fence.
So. Wait, Mondays scare you too? Oh right. my goodness, I didn't know that.
So I think the lone wolf mentality sure. is very, very real. And I think because of that, it kind of has stemmed into this this problem of we are not allowed to rely on other guys or even our spouses and girlfriends as an outlet for mental or emotional turmoil.
Oh, sure. I mean, a man feeling depressed may fear being judged as weak. Mm-hmm. As he expresses his emotions. Concerned about appearing vulnerable might choose to suffer in silence. And so one of the things that we did in January, we just launched a new original called Silent Wars. And it is about all the mental health challenges that, in this case, Christian men go through. You know, kind of establishing what some of those are, because mm-hmm. some guys are so walled off, they may not even know.
Yeah.
So my dad suffered from bipolar for decades. He didn't know. He never got diagnosed. Anybody on the outside could see that rampant mm-hmm. bipolar syndrome. And so other people in the family, his brothers have had it, and were on medication for it, but he never was. And so many times, you know, you guys don't want to be diagnosed or to find out there's something wrong. Because mm-hmm. then there means change is a coming.
Right.
Right.
They feel I'm defective kind of deal.
Right. It's like, well, okay, so say you get diagnosed with bipolar and you were to have a choice of maybe taking some medication, seeking help kind of thing. Now people are now expecting change from you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we love the addictions we have.
Mm-hmm.
We never want to set those down. We might think we do, but many times we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it's really strange to see the difference of how men and women express mental distress or problems. So while a woman might openly talk about feeling anxious and seeking support, a man with anxiety becomes irritable, may increase alcohol use, like you just said. And so it's challenging to open ourselves up because we're always in that competition mode, right? And so, you know, maybe the years in martial arts really helped me with my self-confidence, but I never, at least I think I do, I never try to say, well, that person makes $1 million a year and I don't, so I am worthless. I recognize that person makes more than me. Maybe I won't need to change what I'm doing to reach some goals, but I never tie it to my self-worth. And I don't know, I think my dad always struggled with that. He never finished school. He had to drop out. I think it was sixth, seventh grade. He was really, really young. And this is back in the day, you know, when people were getting married at age like 15 and 16 on the farm, you know. But I think he always felt insecure about that. And that drove and fueled that mental issue with bipolar. And so he struggled. He really did. Struggled as a man, struggled as a dad, a husband. And it wasn't much anybody could do because that always led to anger on his part. And so when we started doing some research around January being mental health issues, I said, boy, we got them.
Yeah.
We got some topics. So did you ever see anybody in college deal with something? I know, you know, I'm a Gen X, right? And I love being a Gen X, but we didn't have safe spaces.
And yeah.
We didn't always have all the diagnosis of things. Did you see back in college people openly struggling mentally with stuff?
There were a couple people that I think had flare burnout style, like just nuclear near the end when things got very difficult. I know plenty of guys who just went nuclear near the end of their stay, especially with, especially Christian guys who maybe were not as strong as they thought they were, but they thought they could handle more. And instead of leaning on other guys, they took it all internally, and that lead to substance abuse. But I think I got out around the time of self-diagnostic stuff was kind of like really rampant right now. I do think it's interesting to see how social media has played a huge role in that of viewing self-esteem and mental health stuff because, you know, a couple decades back, it wasn't very hard to see, you know, really who do you have in your life to really compare yourself to? Maybe your neighbors, maybe your family. Now, well, you can compare yourself to every millionaire you see on TikTok, every dude who thinks he can make 17 days out of one day by sleeping 20 seconds and making $1 million every time he blinks.
Right.
I mean, between all of that, I mean, I'm sure how that can easily, you know, result in feelings of inadequacy, self-esteem problems, which then fuels into mental health issues. And just, you can get hit with it, I think, differently, but the net's much wider now, I think, of influences. And I think it's dangerous if you're not very comfortable in your own skin a lot of the times. And even in this kind of stuff with mental health, we're talking a wide gambit of between self-esteem-based mental health. I mean, there could be many that are much more severe than that. My wife suffers from mental health as well, that, you know, it's taken a long time to crawl out of that pit. And it's, you know, it's required therapy and stuff like that. So, you know, and that brings up another point of men probably look at therapy for some guys as weakness, as, you mean, I got to go sit on a couch and talk about my feelings. And sometimes that's what it takes. And talking through that kind of stuff and getting a counselor. Now, I would highly recommend a Christian counselor because that counselor will help you walk through that from a biblical perspective as opposed to a secular one who will just tell you to keep your chin up kind of deal. But now sometimes just talking through it and getting the help you need, because at the end of the day, getting the help you need just means you're willing to work on yourself.
Sure. And I think every person listening to this podcast or not, needs to be working on themselves.
Yeah.
And We're all called to be more like Christ every day. Mm-hmm. And so recognizing signs and symptoms. So identifying less obvious signs of mental health issues in men, such as irritability, increased anger, or risk-taking. Mm-hmm. The importance of regular mental health checkups akin to physical checkups. Mm-hmm. And encouraging open conversations about mental health in safe spaces. What's interesting is that I just had my physical, felt like September, and then mom just had hers done, I think, in December. And when she was filling out the paperwork, she's like, they ask so many new questions now. Mm-hmm. Are you feeling anxious? Are you, you feel distressed? Or, you know, it almost feels like, well, everybody's got something going on. I mean, Christ said that, you know, the days are full of trouble, right? There's going to be trials and tribulations, you know. It's going to be some issues. And so I think they're asking people, and whether they answer it on there or not, I don't know. Mm. Now, the running joke is you go in there and you say the magic words and you get the anxiety medication.
Yeah.
I come from a generation that we were not medicated to this degree. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a pill for everything. Mm-hmm. And I probably know more people your age medicated for anxiety and depression than the entire people that I knew between ages of 10 and 40 combined.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important for us to look for signs and symptoms, but make sure we're not intentionally wishing upon a star for one.
Yeah.
You know, that there's an issue, speak to someone and get some help. If there is something that you just need to change or work on or discuss, sometimes it's just something you need to get off your chest that you need to sit down and over a cup of coffee and talk to someone. I'm like, you know what, I just feel better saying it out loud.
Yeah. And one thing before we kind of move on to our verse for this first segment, we talk about symptoms and things to look for, about irritability and anger. Mm. I've also seen in many cases guys who put on a front that pretend to be happy and jovial and awesome, and deep down they are like hurting inside.
Sure.
The guy I knew in college who turned alcoholism for, you know, all his woes, on the outside in, dude looked like he was having a fantastic time. He was loving life.
Yeah.
And on the inside he was so broken.
Yeah.
And so I think there's an importance there to make sure that you have a mental health checkup with you as well as your friends. And when you ask, hey, man, how you doing? And they say, fine, you follow up with, really, how you doing?
Yeah.
Because I think we're in a culture right now where we say, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. How are you doing? Oh, great. Have a great day. And then we move on with our lives.
Right.
That I'm fine thing doesn't mean anything. It is a plug and play option because you just ask me how I'm doing.
Sure.
You don't really care, kind of thing. So be intentional about being the person that cares about how your friends and family are feeling.
Yeah. I think asking questions is a lost art. You and I see that quite a bit of you get in a room with someone who is not a talker. And let's just say they're just not skilled at small talk.
Mm-hmm.
They have like this one or two things they could talk about, weather or sports. And after, once you remove that, and like a lot of standing and looking, digging into someone's life, like to some degree, like, hey man, how's work going? How's the family doing? I know you last time we talked that you were thinking about trying to join a gym. Did that ever pan out for you? You know, invest in someone's life with questions because they may just be waiting for the opportunity to share that, and that unlocks some bit of their life that they really need help with.
Yeah.
So our verse on this here, this section, is Psalm 34:18.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit.
The crushed in spirit. Seems like he knew how we would feel with the weight of the everyday.
After having dealt with the Israelites for 40 years in the desert, I'm sure he's seen the wide gambit of our mental anguish.
Yes, so we're going to take and depart from the Israelites and end our first segment here. We'll pick you up on the other side. Our segment two, Biblical Insights and Personal Stories. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. Okay, so welcome back to segment two of our mental health focus on our podcast. We never do this. It's like radio people. I am TJ, and this is Joshua, in case you're wondering. 45 episodes in.
The nameless man.
Right. It's that bald guy, right? So this one is about biblical insights and personal stories. And so there's often a gap in understanding mental health from a Christian perspective.
Yeah.
And there's characters in the Bible like Elijah and David who experienced moments, and even Job, mm-hmm. of deep emotional distress. I mean, Joseph. I mean, there are several people who've mm-hmm. gone through the ringer. Paul could not have enjoyed every moment, right? He had some days. So mental health in the Bible. Anyone stand out to you that you're like, I don't know how they got through some of that?
I always like Moses, because a man who just didn't want to deal with people. And Lord was like, no, I need you to talk to him, man. And then having to deal with the Israelites for so long, seeing them just mess up over and over again. I mean, I if I was Moses, I probably would have lost a lot of faith in humanity just seeing that over and over again of like, God is providing for us and you guys will not shut up about wanting to go back to the slavery thing. Right. And like, no, of course I didn't drag you guys out here to die of hunger and thirst.
Stop asking me that.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, when he went to put his head on the pillow at nighttime, hearing every Israelite come to him complaining about something or other, I mean, I'm sure that put you in the doghouse mentally for, you know, 40 plus years wandering the desert.
Weight of that, yeah.
Because they're all looking to him. I mean, they're like, hey, you took us out here, and we're going to give all – I got grievances, Moses. You got 10 minutes? Let's go. And, you know, taking out on him. And, like, he didn't ask for – he was called. You know, I think it's interesting to see, like, all these people called to do these things, right? And, right. you know, these guys weren't, like, mental, like, fortitude, you know, steel trap guys. I mean, most of these guys were normal, everyday fishermen, yeah. tax collectors, shepherds. And Lord's like, no, we're gonna do this together because I need you to rely on me to do this.
Yeah, I think that you can kind of see that is the premise here. That's the underlying thread that he didn't call the qualified. He qualified the call. Mm-hmm. And so Moses tried to finagle a lot of that. No, I don't think so, Moses.
I can't speak, Lord.
Right. How about Aaron? He's a great speaker. And so, you know, you can kind of see different people that have gone through things. King David, you know, often expresses deep sorrow and distress, like in Psalms 6, rather. He pleads for relief from his agony and weeping. You know, despite being a man after God's own heart, David yeah. went through some things. Mm-hmm. You know, you cannot kill that many people without it affecting you.
Mm-hmm.
And we know enough people that have been in the military, been in wars, that leaves an impression
definitely
on people. Elijah experienced of exhaustion and despair after his victory on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 19 can comfort those facing burnout, showing that even prophets had similar struggles.
That was the portion where Elijah went out into the forest and was like, just Lord, kill me now, right. and told him to take a nap and eat some food and come back at it later.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. So he's just like,
take a moment.
Yeah. I think that was my second one. I was like, yeah, even God was like, all right, you can just take a quick nap, take a little Dorito break and we'll come back at it tomorrow.
Paul's thorn in the flesh mm-hmm. in 2 Corinthians 12:7 might be seen as a spiritual struggle, where David's fear and anxiety in Psalm 55 reflect more direct mental distress, showing the distinction between spiritual and mental health symptoms. Okay. And so I think that this is the whole reason why God chose the everyday person to be an instrument so that we could identify with that person, because that person was the top of his class. He is, you know, the peak of the mountain when it comes to that genre. Then you and I, we like, well, we're not that, so we can't do that. These were people in the field minding sheep. These were fishermen, like you said, tax collectors, on and on. So, but it does, on the other side of that, show that everybody from the top down, if you can't look at our top of our government and see mental illness, then you're not looking.
Yeah.
And I'm not political in any fashion, but you could see from the top down, all the way down to little old me, there's some mental issues that we all have to deal with.
Yeah.
And so how do we do that? So some personal stories, talks about, like, you know, they were either real life stories or testimonials from, you know, people we knew or ourselves that had faced mental health challenges. I think I touched on my dad, my uncle, and his son all had bipolar. I don't think anyone on my mom's side, per se, that struggled with that. But then again, this was the generation before me. So, you know, the further back you go, the less it was diagnosed, the less it was talked about. It was just dealt with.
You know,
like, well, there's old crazy Frank.
You know,
he's just, that's what he does. He, you know, punches people when he he's hungry. So, when Heather was looking to find help, did you find it difficult to find help?
We went through several different options to find someone that could actually help. I know that it takes time. I think that's the second part. It's hard enough to understand you need help, but then that second mountain to climb is, well, not all the help that's offered is good.
Oh, yeah.
So
everybody's got an opinion.
Right. And so we've gone through a couple, and we finally found one that she loves and that she's really been a huge blessing to Heather and helping her in our marriage and that kind of stuff. But I think it's interesting because, like, sometimes it takes, you know, going to see someone to talk through that, and sometimes it almost takes I'm going to call it a villain. I used to deal a lot with anxiety in college. Mm-hmm. I was just very, like, knotted up stomach. My emotions, yeah, like, really just destroyed my physical health a lot, sure, of the time. And it took some of the worst professors I've ever had to beat that out of me to the point where I just did not care,
right,
about who are you to say whether I'm good or not? Sure. Who are you to say I can't do this? Almost like in spite, I wanted to get better kind of thing.
Sure.
And for some guys that works, you know, it worked for me. And I have way thicker skin now, but I think it's interesting that every dude who has to go through something dealing with mental health or mental fortitude in some capacity, it takes all kinds of different journeys where it's talking, sure, you know, meditation and prayer in the Bible, you know, meeting with your pastor. I know our pastors meet with people daily, just talking through our life group leader. He has lunches with one of the guys like every single day, just kind of checking in with you. How you doing? How's marriage and your wife doing? How's your, sure, kids doing? That kind of thing. So, yeah, it's interesting because, like, obviously for me, I'm like, you know, I don't want to go, oh, hey, I undermined the importance of therapy because of just crappy professors. Sure. But, you know, that's a story of person for me, because I look at other people and try to give input where I can, because I have a friend right now who's kind of stepping into that creative realm a little bit, and he's having to put his work out there, and it's resulting in him getting some feedback that maybe is not so great. And I'm having to kind of, like, you know, sure, well, hey, you got to let that roll off your back, you know? So,
yeah. So Joshua and I are both in the creative industry, and then also with running a nonprofit. Anytime you step in front of people, mm-hmm, whether it be to serve or lead the Moses situation, right? Mm-hmm. You better start to develop some thicker skin and know why you're doing it. Because, yeah, if you're doing it to get a whole bunch of attaboys, you're going to have some bad days.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, you get no feedback. You might put something out there, and you're like, what do you think? And it's crickets. Mm-hmm. Or you put out there and they're like, I wouldn't have done that. Well, oh, you can do this? Oh, no, but I just would have done what you did. Okay. So you got to have some thick skin in certain, mm-hmm. you know, industries. But I do think that building that mental toughness will help with a lot of the smaller issues.
Yeah.
You know, like mountains and molehills. I know people that I got to buy socks. All of a sudden, socks become this thing that it's like buying a house.
Mm-hmm.
It's just mind-numbing, and I can't get to them. I get the right socks, right color socks. I mean, what is it made of? All these things about socks.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of clarify it. You're talking about socks, right? And mm-hmm. your feet? This should be like a two-minute conversation
right.
and then moving on. And so, but it really isn't about the socks. That person has a hard time not putting that in such a place that it freaks them out,
yeah.
that they focus and obsess about it. And so I think when we can rightfully discern a situation with the power of the Holy Spirit, I think you can keep the main things the main things.
Mm-hmm.
How is Christ supposed to be paramount in our world if socks are dominating our conversations?
Right.
And I use that as an extreme, but the funny thing is, I know someone right now who's they're talking about socks way too much.
Yeah.
So, faith in recovery. And so we have, over the years, found some really great partners in this here, and one of them is called Reboot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a recovery ministry for people in the military. You can check them out. I think it's called reboot.org. Fantastic ministry. And they focus on helping military people with PTSD. And we also have an original for PTSD, Battle of the Mind. And so it's important to have resources that you can turn to.
Yeah.
After you get real about yourself and realize, okay, you may have a problem,
mm-hmm.
what do you do about it? Because you might know someone and say, that's enough. Oh, yeah, that person's got a problem. That person got a problem. In case you're standing in front of the mirror, that person has a problem
yeah.
too. So there's a balance between faith, prayer, and a professional mental health treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important for us to find some resources. And so you may find that your church has a great resource or some men that specifically serve the role as mentoring and mm-hmm. counseling mm-hmm. kind of thing. And so, it's important to turn to our faith communities to help nurture that environment of healing.
Yeah.
So, if you have not looked into some resources, I would highly recommend starting at your church. Talk to some family and friends about this topic, because I guarantee you, you're not the only person struggling with something, and someone probably has a situation that, you know what, I went to this, and it was a great resource for me.
Yeah, I think it's great to really... Every church we've ever been a part of has offers really great opportunities in counseling, mental health, in that realm, whether internally or externally. Even my wife Heather, she works at a nonprofit that offers one of the locations is a farm, and it offers mental health and rehabilitation for veterans working with a horse.
Yeah,
and so there are plenty of treatments out there. It's just finding the right one that fits you and right. your needs. But I think really that first step is going to be the hardest one, realizing what level sure. of help you need, whether it is just talking with someone to go over coffee or needing something a little more in-depth one-on-one. But even if you don't think you need it, talking with someone probably do you some good.
Sure. I mean, I have several friends that are recovering alcoholics, mm-hmm. and I know the process to some degree, and there's a reason why they have you say, mm-hmm. my name is TJ, I'm an alcoholic.
Yep.
It makes you own that situation instead of dodging it, mm-hmm. ignoring it, pretending you're there for a friend or, well, I don't know. You know, it's meant to help you. And until we get real about that with ourselves, we have a difficult time taking a good first step.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of skin in the game because I think there's ease and anonymity with that kind of stuff where it's like it takes on a whole new light when you're like, okay, yeah, no, I know I need this.
Right.
And taking the steps to do that. But I've put it this way, I've never heard anyone who's gone to therapy or taken these kind of steps to get better with their mental health and regretted it afterwards.
Yeah, I've never heard someone regret it. I've heard people who relapsed, you know, alcoholism is, you know, just like nicotine. Mm-hmm. It relapses sometimes and it takes sponsors. It takes people to help with that. Mm-hmm. And AA is, it leads you to God, mm-hmm. that 12-step program, because that's the ultimate person who can help. But yeah, I don't think I've ever heard someone come out of a rehab and say, well, I hated that with my cigarettes.
Yeah.
You know, give me my cocaine back, please. So our verse in this segment is 1 Kings 19:4-5.
But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Hmm.
Elijah's having a moment there.
Having a rough Monday.
He's having a moment. You know, it's. I always love the Bible because it has these situations that they're there for our benefit. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we probably may not have had that kind of moment. Well, I want to die kind of thing. But you can see that he's reaching out mm-hmm. in his own way to God to fix that situation.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's a great, great passage to read on. That is the end of our second segment. I do apologize for my head cold. I'm trying to get that under control. So maybe in segment three, I won't cough.
You partied too hard at Christmas.
Apparently.
Too much Mary was had.
Too much jolly. So we're coming back for our second segment, or I'm sorry, our third segment. We just finished our second. Stay tuned. We'll see you on the other side. In common, we'd like to thank today's sponsor, Viking Mergers. Sell your business? Viking Mergers and Acquisitions can help. With 25-plus years of experience and 800 successful sales, we're experts in securing maximum value. Get your free business valuation now at vikingmergers.com. Or call 866-592-9467. Okay, welcome back to our last segment of our podcast focusing on mental health, where my challenge is to not cough during this segment. So bear with me, please. So the role of the church and practical steps. Mm-hmm. So the church sometimes struggles to effectively support those dealing with mental health issues.
Yeah,
and I can tell you that we do a lot of work with churches, understaffed, mm-hmm. under budget. I hate to say this, underqualified in some cases.
Yeah.
Just because that man of God is called to preach the word of God does not make him a great administrator. Mm-hmm. So these people they're trying to get by. They're trying to serve any which way they can. And so it may not always be as effective as possible. But it's important to maybe reach out to those at your church and see if there is someone that they would suggest or could help. And so I know many churches now recognize the importance of mental health, and they're taking steps to kind of provide support. But you and I, we do it a lot of churches in our agency, and I don't know of a single one that I can rattle off and say, yep, they do mental health support.
Yeah, a lot of them don't offer any kind of counselor. I know our church offers, the one that we attend, offers counseling. But even that being said, I mean, they may not have, you know, marriage counseling specifically. They may not have a person on board who's, you know, a psychiatrist or a counselor by profession. And so asking, you know, the church you're part of to maybe recommend, that's what we did for right. for us to find someone. We reached out to our life group leaders and said, do you have anyone you recommend us to reach out to speak with? And they pointed us to a couple of different organizations. But I'd highly recommend, you know, if you feel called to be that for your church, sure. to fill that role, because you don't need to be a certified counselor to offer a lending ear to someone for that kind of situation.
Sure. So. Friendly shoulder, you know, ear to confide in and just kind of share without being judged mm-hmm. and ridiculed, I think would go a long way with people. Now, you may not get the feedback that you may require to help take that next step, but that person may know someone, mm-hmm. or at least it opens the door and you're a bit more comfortable in saying, well, after having a conversation with John about this, I don't feel so embarrassed about it. And so I'm thinking I'm going to reach out to that my pastor and ask, is there something that you can help yeah. with? Because, you know, a church could organize a regular health, mental health awareness, you know, kind of session, workshop, whatever, and they can invite someone who's a mental health professional mm. to speak and provide resources.
Yeah.
So if you're a church out there, you may not have the resources to offer this service, but you can maybe organize, hey, get together. Guys love food. Just make bacon. I don't care. just make bacon. Put a sign out front and said free bacon. You'll get guys come in. Mm-hmm. And so that'd be a great way for a church to offer some support.
I know that our church, they host. I don't believe they funded, at least I don't think so, but they host AA meetings at the church.
Yeah, they do.
So, you know, just hosting, giving a place for people to meet is a really great opportunity. I know our church maybe doesn't have counseling, but it does have a prayer team where we always have people in the auditorium, mm. in the lobby that have little lanyards on that yeah. you know, ask, how can we pray for you, that are always willing to, you know, be pulled aside and tell, you know, hey, I really need prayer about this,
sure.
or, you know, a second time about this kind of thing. And so having some kind of team like that at your church is paramount mm. and is definitely rewarding on the other side of that when offering, you know, that kind of service. Because sure. then you get to love on people in your community and other Christians, and yeah. you can, you know, we're called to be like Christ, and, you know, Christ did this constantly with sinners and, you know, people around him eating and fellowshipping. So, you know, if you need some guidance on that, be like Christ.
Yeah, exactly. I think of those guys and those people who, if you've served in any kind of ministry at a church that spoke to people like this, mm. you're probably like two reallys away from the truth. Like, hey, how you doing today? Oh, I'm fine. Really? Oh no, I'm good. Really? Well, now you mention it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it turns serious quickly sometimes. So, you know, church leaders, they may be getting certified. They may be getting some training in this here. I know Archer, one of our pastors, is getting his degree in psychology mm-hmm. recently. And so, you know, he's already got his MDiv, but he's going back to get something around psychology. And so that's so that he can speak to people mm-hmm. about situations around mental issues.
Yeah.
And so, you know, creating a culture within the church or even businesses or families, friendships that normalize talking about healthcare. Now, I said before, I love being a Gen Xer, but I can almost hear someone saying, I suffer from whatever. If it's probably something that we've heard of before, we probably would say, oh, I'm sorry to hear that kind of thing. If it sounds a little made up or a little bit too woke, there's probably a good chance a Gen Xer is probably going to make fun of that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say that. Now, that's because I've seen people like, they have phobias about working 40-hour work weeks.
Time blindness.
Time blindness. or is that the one that's like, I'm also late everywhere?
Yeah, Time Blindness is the one, the girl who was like, I can't keep track of time, so I can't guarantee I'll be at work on time, which is, this falls in the category of using a quote-unquote illness to rationalize poor decisions on your part.
Okay, because I can 100% guarantee that most people would find that to be made up.
Yes, that is made up.
And, okay, good.
Yeah, so. I'm not a professional, but I can say with almost 100% or certainly that's 100% made up. Okay. You're just late. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, you're just late. It's own that lateness. Let's see. Introducing regular mental health moments during services where topics related to mental health wellness are briefly discussed, because I think that maybe awareness might be something that could help this situation.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, you see it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, mm-hmm. or prostate cancer kind of thing. You know, if you become more aware of something, I think you become more apt to be sensitive to it, or may want to help about it, because you might not even know that. I didn't know that someone dealt with a bipolar situation, you know. And so if you knew someone you loved did, it might change the way you think about it.
Right. And when you're making environments where where they feel comfortable enough to have that kind of conversation with mental health with you, mm-hmm. they'll open up about it. Because I know, like, there's been guys I've spoken to who grew up in households where it was like, we don't talk about mental health. You're a dude. You bottle that crap up and you take it to the grave with you, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, those guys have a hard time expressing any kind of emotion. Sure. That includes joy, you know, and laughter and stuff like that.
Right.
And so just creating environments in church, in your household, you know, making sure it's it's not a taboo topic to talk about, where it's like, well, we don't talk about mental health here, you know, creating those right. kind of quote unquote safe spaces to have those conversations, and discussing that, you know, okay, what does the Bible talk about with that? How can we pray about that? Are there steps we need to take to kind of get ahead of this and that kind of situation? Because I do find there's a pendulum, right? You know, your parent generation did not diagnose anything. If you had something, it was just, well, you're crazy. And now we've kind of pendulum to the other side where time blindness is its own thing. And so it's like somewhere in that kind of middle zone is where we kind of need to be. And this comes from not talking about it at all, then forces time blindness to show up because we talk about all of it. And it's like, we need to find a good middle ground, have safe spaces to talk about it and look at that through the lens of the Bible and seeing how God can help us work through that stuff. And if it is putting our, you know, anxieties on him or praying about it, meditating or talking to other people about it and, you know, kind of working our way through that list of a check-in.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that if, you know, guys are so, I mean, there are movies and movies and books mm-hmm. written about guys, but two guys can walk out of their houses from across the street, make eye contact and nod mm-hmm. and move on with their day. And the wife would say, oh, you saw Ronnie across the street? How's he doing? Doing okay. We barely made eye contact. I could see Ronnie across the street. We nodded, maybe give a thumbs up. Mm-hmm. That's how we communicate sometimes. So how about some practical tips for mental health? Uh-oh, you coughed.
Yeah. Too much eggnog.
That's 47 me, 1 you. Okay. Editing will be fun for this podcast. So the practical tips for mental wellness. So lifestyle changes like exercise, mm-hmm. healthy diet, and enough sleep. You may not have an anger issue. You might just need to go to sleep. You ever see a toddler that's beyond tired?
Yeah.
Go to sleep, little Becky. Go to sleep.
One of our family members on Heather's side, he deals with very high blood pressure, and that actually has led to him having like anger outbursts, and so that's a direct result of him like having a very poor diet is causing the high blood pressure, which is causing the anger, which I never really kind of thought about until I was looking at it and some research. I was like, that's a weird correlation to kind of hit all those things. So, you know, having a diet to kind of help regulate that kind of stuff is, it plays a bigger role than I ever thought it could.
Well, the body's complicated, mm-hmm. and there's going to be things that we do to ourselves or our body does, and all of a sudden you're like, well, that's not cool. I don't like that.
I don't like that feature, Lord.
No, I do not like that feature. The importance of building a supportive community and having trusted people to talk to. So not everybody who has ears is someone you need to speak to.
Yes.
Because that person may not care about you, may not speak wisdom into you. That person may not be godly.
Yeah.
And so I hate to say this, but I think we want to make sure that we confide in someone who could give us, like you said, the Christian counselor. You don't want someone that is just going to say, you need to grow up. Mm. You need to grow a pair and stop being a sissy.
Yep.
That doesn't help anybody.
No, that's not a constructive criticism.
Right. So it's important to find out who you can trust, mm-hmm. and speak to that person.
Yeah, definitely vet your counselor. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Integrating mindfulness, meditation, and prayer into our daily life. Tell you what, you want to start your day off right? Spend some time in God's Word, mm-hmm. before your feet hit the ground.
Yep.
And if you need a praise break, you get the Bible out on your phone, a physical Bible, whatever, and you read another 15 minutes of God's Word. And you keep doing that throughout the day until you are not, say, anxious anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that is just, you would think that a practical tip like that would be something that would be ingrained in us, but how is God supposed to work in our lives if we never spend time seeking His will, mm-hmm. and reading His Word? So, resources and support. We may put together a list, and we have a little bit into our Silent War original with some resources to devotions and other originals and articles and some of the podcasts we've done about this, but also things like reboot.org. Mm-hmm. Encourage people to use like a mental health app. Mm. Now, I don't know about if Heather uses anything, but my watch, it's very high tech. It's a $39 watch.
Oh, nice.
And
$39 whole dollars.
Oh my goodness. And so it has a really weird feature that it tells me to relax. Mm-hmm. It usually happens when I'm watching the Saints play football around that third, fourth quarter range. But just out of the blue, or once in a while, I'll be like, relax. And I'll look around. I'm just sitting.
Can you see me watch?
So I'm trying to relax more. So, but there's mental health apps out there, and then, mm-hmm. there's websites, obviously, that are available. We are a culture that we're not lack of information. Mm-hmm. We're a lack of wisdom.
Yeah.
So
it's gonna sound kind of low tech and definitely like middle school esque, but I know plenty of guys who benefit from this regularly is journaling, writing down. If it's how you're feeling, or, kind of any fears or anxieties and that kind of stuff. Because sometimes it's just getting it out of here and onto a piece of paper, sure. and then helps you move through it.
Yep.
Especially if you're worried about like taking that step to talk to someone about it, that could be a good middle ground.
Right.
Just taking 10, 15 minutes, do your prayer walk and your Bible study first, and then spend 5 minutes just journaling about what you read and how you're about to do your day and how you're feeling. And then see how that impacts your day. Do it for a week and just see what you got to lose.
It won't take much time. You may find that it leads to, I bet some authors started off journaling, mm-hmm. some Christian authors. And how to find and connect with local mental health professionals and small groups. Again, this could be a search. This could be through family and friends, through mm-hmm. a church. There are resources out there that you can turn to. Mm-hmm. And so our verse as we get ready to close this segment before our challenge is Romans 15:1. It says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." Mm-hmm. And so, you know, having a kind, sensitive ear towards someone who maybe needs to talk should be the job of everyone.
Yeah.
So so our challenge is to encourage you to reflect on your own mental health or that of someone close to yourself and challenge yourself to take one proactive step this week, whether it's seeking help, starting a conversation, participating in a mental health support group, whatever it is, take one good step toward better mental health. I sound like Dr. Phil in that last segment. I was like, how does that make you feel?
Got the right amount of hair for it.
I do. Yeah, I have the same haircut, just not the same bank account. Well, I hope this is a good resource for everybody. If you start talking about this, we'll have one more related to this topic. We're going to move to two podcasts a month, but they're going to be longer in size like this. And so you'll see reels and shorts of this throughout the next 2 weeks. But I think our podcasts, our schedule is going to be every 2 weeks at the start of 2024.
Yeah.
So welcome to the new year. And if you're going to be something, be uncommon.